So we're going to be, it's going to be kind of a multiple thing today. So we're going to start sharing a little bit about Ohio, which is where we've been all week. And then we're going to kind of go into a training so that we can train and equip you guys how to do what we do on the streets. So when Time to Revive comes to Rochester, you guys will be equipped already and be able to partner with our ministry and go out on the streets. So Ohio, we got there, we went Monday morning, and most of you know for me that I sometimes struggle with pain in my joints, and the RA, which is rheumatoid arthritis, for the most part is under control. I have my days, usually kind of in between, but Monday started out with a severe attack on me physically. So I couldn't look up and down. I couldn't turn my head at all. My neck was completely locked. My right knuckle, the first knuckle, was swelled 3 times the normal size. I couldn't move it. The pain, and I have a really high pain tolerance, so I can tolerate a lot. But the pain was so bad I couldn't bend my finger. The knuckle on my left finger or left hand was swollen. My left wrist and my hips. So completely, almost a total body attack that I couldn't move. I looked like I'd been hit by a truck. I'd had untold amount of people pray for me, and I wasn't getting any relief. It was so bad to the point that James said by the end of the day that if I wasn't better, we were going home because it was so bad. And it was, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to go home because I can suffer here and get work done, or I can suffer at home and do nothing. It's not going to matter where I am. So we decided to stay. Well, that next morning I had devotions. So every morning before we start our day, we start team devotions. And mine actually happened because the previous Sunday, we had played the song Reckless Love. And I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about, but it was like that God just gave me the entire message while I was up here at the altar Sunday morning. So Tuesday morning, I gave my message. And the pain was still really bad, but as Tuesday went on, the pain kind of decreased a little bit in steps. So I knew that what Satan was trying to do was try to stop me from giving my message. And if for no one else, it was for me. So by Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, I was back to being normal pain, normal everything. Which I know sounds funny, but there's a kind of a certain level that I live at. Until it manifests, because I'm healed, but until it manifests, this is kind of where I stay. So by Wednesday morning, I was good. So when Satan decided that he couldn't take me out physically, he tried to take me out emotionally. So then when that didn't work, he then started in on that I'm not as good as James. And of course, comparing, you know, I don't do it like he does. I don't this and I don't that. And just all this stuff. So depression started setting. And this was all within like 2 hours. And it just started settling in. And then the longer it went, the more worthless I felt. And the more unworthy I felt to do what God has called me to do. So literally by mid-morning, mid-afternoon, I was in a full-on depression. I mean, it was horrid. And so I went to go find somebody to pray for me. And one of our team members walked alongside me. I was like, oh, hey, will you pray for me? And she literally, as soon as she did that, she took off into another room. It was like she didn't even see me. She didn't hear me, nothing. It was the weirdest thing. And she is not like that. She is, it was really weird for her. So I was just like, okay, what just happened? So I went to find somebody else, and she wouldn't quit talking long enough for me to ask her to pray for me. So, I mean, it was just really, that just added to, you're not important, you're not this, you're not that. And so I was sitting at our table where I do our check-in and out for teams. And the longer I sat there, the worse it got. And I was like, you know what, this is stupid. You know, God gave me the power. He gave me the words the same as anybody else. So as I was sitting there, I was praying the armor. You know, started at the helmet and it ended with the shield and the sword and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes. And I went through the whole armor. If you don't know, if you do not have it memorized, you need to. You need to study this verses. You need to know it. Because if there's no one to walk alongside you at that moment, you have to be able to call on the Lord and know the word. So if you do not know it, you need to study it, memorize it, meditate on it. So as I was going through the whole armor, I was sitting there, I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And within 5 minutes, it was like nothing had happened. All the oppression, all the depression, everything was gone. I mean, it was just a complete transformation. So this has been an extremely rough week for me because God rescued me from the attack of the enemy physically and then rescued me from an emotional attack. So it's been an extremely draining, but I know what it was is Satan was trying to take us out because what we accomplished in Ohio in 4 days that we were there was astronomical. Just astronomical. One of the things that we're going to do is we're actually going to share a video. But what happened is, so it wasn't only me. Our team was also being attacked in Ohio. So they were, the spirit of offense, which we obviously know runs rampant in this country, was taking on our team. And our team was getting offended with each other over nothing. They were getting angry. They were exhibiting signs that is not normal for our team. So on one evening, it may have been Tuesday night, I told him, I said, look, this is what I'm seeing. Satan is attacking our team. He is coming at us, and you guys are taking on the spirit of offense. You are taking on, and I just listed the stuff that I was seeing. And our team's just like, you know, so they asked me to pray. So I prayed over them for that. And the next day, you could see a change. You know, and the leader's like, thank you. I said, but you know what? What happens is if you expose the lies of the enemy and the enemy himself to the light, darkness cannot hide. He cannot stay hidden anymore because he's been exposed, so he has to go. And that's what was happening. He was exposed that evening, and the next day you could see that the spirit of offense was less. It wasn't gone, but it was less. So the attacks are real. And, you know, if you're not being attacked, there's something wrong, honestly. Not that we want to be attacked, but Christ said that we would suffer, persecution. And that means attack of the enemy. So one of the things we just wanted to show a real quick video that that God had done on the streets. And we were only supposed to, actually the revival was supposed to end Thursday night. They actually asked it to extend until tonight. Well, last night they decided that they're actually going to extend it again until next Thursday. So James and I in the morning will be leaving again to head back to Ohio to finish out next week in Ohio again. So we would love your prayers, a prayer covering as our church family, you guys, you know, our awning, basically. So if you guys would definitely cover us in prayer this week. I won't stand for another week like I had last week. So so we'll show that video real quick.
So I want to talk to you about the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Tab there, tab number one. If you open your Bible up there, the tab number one, there's a highlighted verse. And that highlighted verse says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
When we go to the third tab, which represents love. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast.
Tab number 5. It says that if you confess with your mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Did you ever say, hey, I want you to be the boss of my life? Is that something, I mean, you say you believe they say, is that something you'd like to do?
I mean, I gotta get
my
okay.
Like right now? Yeah. So really, it's a matter of you saying, just telling them, Jesus, just praying and saying, Jesus, I choose to make you the boss, the Lord of my life. So you want to pray? Let's pray. Is there anybody here who's man enough to stand up in front of his peers and say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life? Anyone? I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to begin living to please him. Okay? I've been living to please myself as much as I can get away with it, but I want to start living to please him. Okay? Anyone else? Anyone else?
Come on, guys.
None of us have promised tomorrow, you guys. None of us are. Okay, stand up.
Today, I want to make Jesus my Lord.
Today, I want to make Jesus my Lord.
Today, I want to make Jesus my Lord.
I want to make Jesus my Lord.
What do you guys think about that? Yeah, you guys can hoop and holler and scream and whatever, man, because that is stomping on the enemy's head right there. I got to drive the truck. I love driving that baptismal truck. It's a magnet. People will come to you. I felt led to go in this, I'll call it the trenches. It wasn't a very good neighborhood. And so I met this family. This guy, he was hanging clothes on this clothesline. It was in between two trailers, and I mean, no offense to anybody, my family's from Kentucky, so I can say this, it looked like somebody from Kentucky. I mean, stuff all over and everything, and you know, and I don't know why, I'm kind of drawn to that. So I pulled the truck up and I said, hey man, I said, have you ever seen a truck like this before? And he's like, no. I said, well, come check it out. So before you know it, he's telling us, I said, how can we pray for you? And he's like, well, we just got in a wreck about 6 months ago, and I almost died. My neighbor almost died. Both of them almost died. His spine was just all jacked up. Her spine was all jacked up, and the son's spine was all jacked up. So the first thing we did, you guys, is just we just prayed. We prayed for healing. And, man, God showed up like you would not believe. And the cool thing about it is we prayed for this guy. So my team prayed for this person, you know. And so we got to share the gospel with them. And next thing, they said yes to Jesus. They wanted to be baptized. We got the truck right there. Let's get them in the water, right? So we baptized them right there. There was two of them. The very next day, I felt that the Lord said to go back. So I went back there, and oh, man, this is a crazy story, you guys. long story short, this whole family, six salvations, five healings, and I'm not talking, you know, oh, my knee hurts, you know, I mean, this is beyond God doing this stuff, you know. Seven baptisms. Yeah. So with that, you know, it's not about, you know, yeah, I drive the truck, you know, so I set it up, you know, and there's men, you know, I'll baptize them. But we like for our team to baptize them. We like for the parents, if they have gotten saved, we like for them to baptize their kids. So that's what they did. And I mean, it was just amazing. Four times God sent me back to these people. They had pink hair, purple hair, and nose rings. They all vaped. I mean, it was just like, there was probably, I'd say between these two trailers, 25 people. Oh, yeah. I mean, it just kept coming. I was like, where'd you come from? You know? And it's like, man, God was just doing a work. You know, he just kept sending us back. But that whole family, there's six of them signed up for discipleship. And that's the most important thing, is to be followed up with, right? Yeah, I mean, that family just rocked my world. So I want to talk about the football players. The seventh graders, that was the one pastor. And I got to pray for the eighth graders. We had a 10-minute window, you guys, and already lost 5 minutes. So they started, and then the eighth graders, they came over. And you got to do this really fast, you know. And this is just a cool thing, because it's not about what we say. It's not how we do it. It's the Holy Spirit. So I just want you guys to get this. It's not about us. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us, okay? So, I mean, I've got like 4 minutes, and here come all these eighth graders and everything, and so pastor's just about done, so I can't throw them in there because he's almost done with his presentation. So I grab him over there. I sit him down, you know. I run it through him super fast, you know, and then all of a sudden, the national anthem comes. It starts, so we stop, and it was so amazing. All the kids turned, man, and just looked out there at that flag. I mean, it was just breathtaking. So you guys seen when I said, you know, I talked to them, and like I said, it was super fast, and I just said, hey, you guys, none of us are promised tomorrow. You know, of course, I said a little bit more, and I talked to them about discipleship, and it rocked my world when they just stood up, you know. I want to make Jesus Lord. And then it was like, whoom, and then we got to hurry up and get their names and everything, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have some help on my team to grab and get their names. No, it was right here. Whoosh. I mean, you guys seen it. I mean, that's just the way it was. And my heart was pumping. I've never shared a gospel that fast. I mean, it was just unreal. So we've seen 34 young kids say yes to Jesus that day, you guys. And the coolest thing about it is, yeah, you can clap. You can clap. The coach, he is such a believer. He wants to get in there and disciple them. And there's a couple other ministries that's going to go in there and walk with them, you know, to raise them up. We have the discipleship books and everything that we're going to give them. I mean, it's just, we've seen so many healings and deliverances. The other night, we did a baptism. We did two baptisms at the church. And the one kid, he wanted to get baptized, but his mom couldn't see it, so she was in a wheelchair, she was in a lot of pain, so we take the truck to them, right? It's a mobile baptism, that's what you do. So we took it over there. She got to come out and watch her son get baptized. Man, this is so good. Wow. So this is the book of Acts, you guys. So he got baptized, and I couldn't just leave her in that chair. See, she's in pain, you know. I said, hey, let us pray for you. So we prayed for her. I mean, it was just like, I don't know, like a cloud. I mean, it was just, he was there. So prayed for her. She said there was no more pain. I'll grab her hands, you know. Well, let's walk. Come on, faith without works is dead. I mean, I do this, this is who I am, but, you know, I did it in a loving way. I said, well, let's try to walk. So I grabbed one hand, and a missionary friend, he grabbed another one. And, you know, we got her up. And so we just walked her around, you know, and I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. So as we're walking around, she's walking real slow. And I said, how you feeling? And she's like, well, there's still a little bit of pain. I said, okay. So we sat her back down and we prayed again. And man, this time, you guys, we started to grab her up, and then she just kind of jumped up, you know. And then, so I said, let's walk around. I said, this time, let's walk up by the house. So we walked up by the house, and she was literally pushing her wheelchair. I mean, it was just unreal what God did right there. And it was just all over. And it wasn't us. You know, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, it's the faith. You know, it's the faith, you know. Faith, it says right here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you got to believe that stuff. Jesus said that we will do greater things. How many know that we're going to do greater things? How many do those greater things? Why don't we? All we got to do is our faith just say, you know what? All pain go. It's not between us. If they don't get healed, you know, that's between God and them, you know. Maybe it's not that time. I don't know. But I do believe that God's going to do it. So that's exactly what happened in Ohio, you guys. We've seen it. I mean, it's the book of Acts. And like Amy said, we're going to go back. But it's not only us going back. It's the whole Time to Revive missionary team. Talk about bringing in the artillery. I mean, you're talking 50 to 70 missionaries. I mean, and when we went in there, you know, like she was talking about the attacks, this place is so dark, the witchcraft and everything. But man, God's got his hand all over this. Yeah, the enemy is attacking, but he's getting stomped. I mean, these miracles, I mean, you're talking spines straighten up and all this stuff. The book of Acts, you know, and these are just everyday people just like us going to church, you know. And I'm just telling you guys now, we can all do this. We don't see these miracles happen because we don't pray for them. All right. All right, so I am so rocked, but I want to share this before I do this. Yesterday, when I said about God showed me a picture, this whole family, like I said, I'm not joking when I say at least 20 people in these two trailers. See that? Look at that pink. He's reminding me of that right there. So yesterday, I run to Walmart real quick, and he takes me out in the country, and I should have been at the church, but I felt led I had to go to Walmart, so I ran over there, and I seen this field. And it was all completely harvested already, you know. So I come up to another field. There's a train on the track. And there's a cornfield here, cornfield here. Man. You look in a cornfield. God highlighted this one corn stalk, one. And he said, that's that family that you've been pouring into. What about everybody else? I was rocked, man. So when you guys see that cornfield out there, everywhere you go, just imagine, that's one family. One. We need to get out there, you guys, and it's time for us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need you guys. We need you guys. We need you guys. It's not fair for us to say, yeah, we got the Holy Spirit inside of us, man. Man, we need you. I'm going to let Amy talk because I'm getting rocked.
So we're going to equip you guys like we would do in a city. We go through just some training slides and just give you a little bit. We're actually going to give you the full training of what we normally do. The only thing we're not going to do is take you out on the streets yet. Our goal is to, at one point in time, take you guys out on the streets, have our team come in and just partner with our congregation and just go out and pray. That's it. You're just going to pray and see what God does. Maybe God will use you to heal somebody's knee. Maybe God will use you to lead someone to Christ and change their life forever. So when we're doing our training, we wanted to start with the training slides. Sorry, John. Are you going to? Okay, so we're going to start with our method. Now, we've been doing some evangelism training after church, so some of you are going to be aware of this already. So just kind of hang out with us. So our first method that we use is love. So you can't get anywhere if you're not loving anybody. Okay, nobody wants to know what you have to say or how you have to say it if you're not doing it in love. Okay, so you're going to love them. And it doesn't matter who, what, when, where, why, anything like that. We are just called to love, period. God didn't put an exception, any rules, any laws on it. He just said love. Okay, so then the second part, when you're out on the streets and you're talking to someone, super imperative that you listen. Okay, so, and I will tell you, I'm usually really good at this part. I'm usually really good at names, okay? So if Brandon comes up to me and I'm gonna pray for Brandon, but I call him Bill, He's not going to care too much for that. It's a mistake. Now, I will tell you, we went out to breakfast and we were able to minister to our waiter. He had been in an accident. He couldn't smell. He had a hard time seeing. He couldn't hear out of one ear. He let us minister to him. He actually paid for our breakfast. And then before we left, he let me pray for him. We walked outside and there was a gentleman that was had just had a liver transplant, but he was shaking really bad. And that was part of whatever. And he wanted the shaking to be gone. His name was Charlie. Charlie, I will never forget that from now on, because when we were praying, I called him Roger. I don't even know where I got Roger. I have no idea. And they did not stop me. So I prayed, and we get done, and he looks at me and goes, by the way, my name's Charlie. I felt this big. I have never done that before. And he was super gracious about it. You know, we joked about it, we laughed about it. So listening is super important, okay? So discerning, when someone tells you what their prayer request is, discern and pray for it correctly. So we use this example a lot. Somebody had wanted prayer for, they wanted to go to California and get a marijuana farm, which I think we've talked about this before. I'm not going to pray that they get a marijuana farm in California, okay? So I'm going to discern a little bit different. I'm going to discern that maybe they just need an increase in income, or an income period. So I'm just going to pray that God bless them with a job. You know, so just be discerning on how you do that. If they want prayer for world peace, fine, pray for world peace. It doesn't hurt anything. So then responding. And then there's respond in prayer. Infamously, when someone comes up and they're like, oh, will you pray for this? Yes, yes, I'll pray for you. And then you walk away and you never pray for them. Happens all the time. We do it. We are guilty of that. So we have made it super a priority when someone says, will you pray, that we stop right then. Even if it's a 10-second prayer, we stop right then and pray. Yes. Because if not, you're not going to do it. You're going to forget. You know, so if somebody's like, hey, Amy, will you pray for, you know, I've got this cough. Absolutely. God, will you heal their cough? You just touch their lungs and you help them breathe. That's it. But do it right then. So then our method, when we go out on the streets, you want to hand out bands? Okay. So we actually have bands that we use on the street that we're going to hand out today to you guys, that you're going to be able to use. So when we go out on the streets and we ask, we never say, so you see the second word is can. Do not start the word with can. Or don't start the question with can, because that leaves an open ending for yes or no. So if you start it with how, that's not a yes or no. If somebody says, how can I pray for you? You can't go yes. You can't go no. So it's a leading question of how. So you're expecting a response. So when you go up and you say, how can I pray for you today? And we still get turned down. We still get people to go, no, I'm good, thanks. Okay. I was in Marion and I had a gentleman tell me, I asked him how I could pray for him. And he said, no thanks. He goes, I have a degree in theology. So that means I can't pray for you. That means you don't pray, you know? So, I mean, you're going to hear some strange answers. And I said, okay, great. You know, have a great day. And he was a nice guy, but he just didn't want prayer because he had theology degree. Still doesn't make any sense to me, but that's good. So you just always say, how can I? So it's a leading question that they have to have some kind of response for you. So then when you're praying for somebody, us in this church, this is common. So it's not something that we think of that often. But you need to remember, when you're out on the streets, you're going to be dealing with people who may not go to church, who may never have been to church, who have been hurt by the church. So you always want to ask permission. So when I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray for Terry, I'm not going to just go up and, you know, how can I pray for you? And she tells me her cat's sick and wants prayer. I'm just not going to go up and go, Heavenly Father, God, you don't do that. Okay. People like their space. So make sure you're always asking permission. Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Always ask permission. that's really important, like I said, because I could be encroaching in her space and she's going to be like, yep, no, I'm good, thanks. And you, our goal is to love them and bring them to Christ, not chase them away. Okay, so make sure you're always asking permission. Can I put my hand on your shoulder? If they say no, fine. You can pray with your hands beside your side or in your pockets or clasp your own hands. You don't have to touch them. So then you pray for their request, which we discussed about this. So if Terry has a request for her cat that her paw hurts, I'm not going to go and start praying for salvation for her and her entire family. Her and her entire family might need it, but she asked for prayer for her cat. Pray for the cat. Then what happens once you've prayed for the cat? She might feel more comfortable with you to say, look, you know what? My son is running from God. Will you partner with me and pray for him? Or will you pray for him? Absolutely. So when you're faithful in the small, God may bless you with the bigger, with them. Okay, so just make sure that you're praying for what they actually ask and not everything else. So then once you're done praying, you say, can I give you a gift? If you say, can I give you a wristband or something like that? Most people are, some will say, no, I'm okay, I don't wear them. But can I give you a gift? How many people are going to turn down a gift? Not very many. So James is real good when he does it. I normally hand it because my hands are not the best, so I can't stretch and pull them open. He will stretch it and say, okay, hold your hand out. And he physically puts it on them right then and there. Because if you don't, they put it in their pocket. They forget about it. It goes through the washer, through the dryer, which it goes through the washer and dryer just fine. They don't get hurt. But if you put it on the wrist, it's an actual visual that they go through, okay? Like I said, I don't do that, but James does. And then you ask him, can I explain what this means? Because it'll take a few minutes to go through it. Some people don't have time. If they're looking at their watch or their phone or they're dancing around, they probably don't have time to go through it. And that's okay. But you can say, can I explain it? And if they say yes, now we're not handing out Bibles today to you guys, but we did hand out cards, which are the exact same thing as the Bible, just the verses only that we cover. So we ask them, can I explain? And if they say yes, so then we're going to go ahead and say, can I give you this Bible? Now, we don't always give out the Bibles. If we have them handy, we do. If not, you can give them a card. The cards fit in your wallet. You can have 20 in your wallet, and it doesn't take up any room whatsoever. So you always have them read it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So if you're reading everything, it's like just like another, they can drift too easy. Okay, but if they're reading it, they have to pay attention. So you have them read the verses. Now, with that, make sure you're asking them if they can see it. You're going to be on the street and you're going to run into people that can't read, that don't have their glasses. Obviously you don't want to say, can you read? You just want to say, I know the print's really small. Can you see it good enough? Is the light good enough? I forgot my glasses, so I can't see it. Are you able to read? Try not to offend them. Okay. So then we have them go through and actually go through the verses themselves. So we're going to show you, before we go through the verses, we're going to show you a real quick whiteboard video that Time to Revive had made, just a little animated that'll show a little bit what we do and how we do it.
Hey, this is Kyle Lance Martin with Time to Revive, and I gotta tell you, I'm excited about what God is doing in this nation. Why? Because I actually believe the church wants to impact our country. The church wants to impact our community. How? By sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is that many of us are scared about how people are gonna respond. So I just wanna very simply just kind of walk you through how we use these to share the gospel with lost people. How do we use these to share the gospel with family members or friends? And after we pray with somebody, we just say, hey, how can I pray for you? We just give them this wristband. They'll look at it and I'll say, do you notice that there's five colors? Well, yeah. Well, do you have a couple minutes where I can articulate what these five colors mean? And I'll pull out a little blue Bible and I'll say, hey, can I walk you through these five colors? And so I'll say, if you don't mind, put your thumb on number one. And what you'll see is the verse that's already highlighted in black. The key is that we don't read this for them. Now, hopefully, Lord willing, they can read. And so we ask them, hey, is this print too small or is it too dark outside? So we always try to give people an out so that they don't have to read. But if they can read it, you know, and they read it out loud, it's because faith comes by hearing the word. We're not here to shove anything down their throat. We want the Spirit of God to kick in through the scriptures. And so after they read Romans 3:23, we say, hey, do you believe that everybody sins? And so, you know, if they believe this, if they agree to this, then we say the yellow word is sin. Now, sin leads to something. And so we ask them to go to Romans 6:23, which is the color black. So they put their thumb on number two, they open it up, and they begin to read this out loud. And so we talk about the wages of sin. What everybody earns is death. Sin leads to death, which leads us to the third color. It's red. Sometimes I ask, what do you think it means? Sometimes they'll say hell, and sometimes they'll say blood. And we just say, hey, let's go to Romans 5:8 again. Have them read out loud. And as they read it out loud, I just love watching the Holy Spirit begin to take over. And we just talk about God's love. He demonstrates his love by putting his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Why? So that the sin and death can be taken away. So that third word is love. But then you get into the fourth color. Now, this is kind of the fun one. This is the blue one. So we go to Ephesians 2:8-9, and we have them read it out loud. The scripture says you are saved from the sin and death by having faith in Jesus Christ, by receiving this gift. Then at this point, you want to say, hey, do you want to read this fifth and final one? And Lord willing, they'll say yes. And you say, okay, the green color. Romans 10:9-10. If you would, put your thumb on number five and open it up and have them read out loud Romans 10:9-10. Now, I always say, hey, this is a little bit longer, some bigger words, but hang in there. You kind of want to make it lighthearted. You want to enjoy this. Don't make this so serious. You never want to make it serious to the point where you're like, gosh, you guys are boring. Man, look, if Christ has changed your life, you got to act like he actually has changed your life. Act like you actually have life in you, which is the fifth word. The green word is life, because scripture says that when you confess that Jesus is your Lord and that you actually believe this, the scripture says you will have eternal life. So many of us think, it's a free ticket to heaven. Man, it's so much more than that. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God right here and now. He begins to change your life today. And so you went from sin and death all the way to the green to life. Why? Because of what he did for us on the cross, because you had faith in that he did this for us. You can't expect everybody to get it right away, but there are times, there are people that are going to say, I want this right away. Now, what do? Well, I go to the orange tab on the blue Bible. There's no orange on your wristband. You say, hey, you notice, those are the five colors, but I got a sixth one on the Bible. So I have to go to the back of the Bible, and there's going to say a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And when you give your life to Christ, you are literally forgiven of everything. But I never go on sharing the gospel without articulating that you can receive the Holy Spirit when you say yes to Jesus. And so you just simply just say, hey, is there anything keeping you from placing your trust in Christ? Ask them that question. Don't be afraid of being rejected, because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And so ask them. If they say, no, absolutely not, then you just say, okay, would you be willing to pray right now that Jesus is your Lord? And some will look at you funny. They might give you a strange look, or some will say, yeah, I don't even know how to say that. And all you need to simply do is say, "Is Jesus, I believe that you're my Lord and Savior. I believe that you forgive me of my sins." And you kind of help them with that, and they're off and running. And I got to tell you, though, this is one step. You see, we're not here to make converts. We're here to make disciples. And so, you know, we use these blue Bibles, use these wristbands as a means to articulate who we are in Christ so that others can grasp who he is as well. My challenge is who could you share this with? Who could you already start this process of introducing Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to somebody today? These blue Bibles and these wristbands, they're a simple way to help us pursue revival in such a tangible way that people can experience Christ. Thanks.
So that looked pretty easy, right? The biggest thing is, you know, I was saying earlier about that we don't get out there and do that. A lot of times we're not trained. You know, not everybody has seen that video. Not everybody has been out there. The cool thing about the ministry is we take you guys out. You know, we don't throw you under the bus and say, hey, will you read this? Will you do this? No, you just watch us. And if you feel led, then, you know, hey, can I share that with you? But the whole thing of it is we're training you. You guys are watching us, because eventually it's, what is that, model? model assist, leave, watch and leave. Yeah. So that's what it's all about. You know, you're going to watch us, and then hopefully eventually you're going to get involved, and then so that we can stand back and watch you guys do it, because we're going to leave. You know, the thing about revival is our ministry is we equip the saints. You know, it's not one speaker standing up here and just praying for everybody and everybody's coming in and they're getting saved. No, the church is coming alive and the church is being equipped and the church is being what they're called to be. I mean, you know, like Kyle said, no one likes a person, you know, they say they're saved, but it's like they get, how do you say that, Pastor? Baptized in pickle juice or something like that. I mean, come on, you guys, we have life inside of us. And I like to joke with people. You know, I like to have fun when I'm out there because I want them to see Jesus in me, you know, and that's what it's all about. And love driving that truck, and every person, every story is different. It's never going to be the same every time, you know. Amy has a different approach. I have a different approach. This person here does. But it's not about us. As long as they see life in us, as long as they see something different in us, they're going to want what we have, right? So, you guys have any questions? Any questions at all? You guys ready to do this? I'm just kidding. Eventually, I would like to do that. We're actually going to bring our missionaries here. And if you guys would like to, and you just stand back and watch. You'd stand back and watch. You don't have to do anything. You just see how easy it is. And because you guys, those pink hairs, the people on that family I was telling you about, I didn't meet them inside a church. I didn't meet them at a revival. We took the church to them. And that's what it's all about. We have to take the church to them. If they see a fear in us, if they see all the stuff that we're carrying, we don't have anything that they want. We have to show them life, you know. Like Brandon, y'all need Jesus. That's a pretty strong statement. I wear it all the time. Love that shirt. But that right there, you know, sometimes you don't say anything. You wear a hat or whatever, and that gets people's attentions, you know. That opens up the door. A lot of times, like I said, I was driving a truck. So when I'm driving that truck, I can stop and say, hey, have you ever seen a truck like this before? You can't do that with any vehicle because they're going to think you're weird. You know, you're a stalker and all this stuff. But it's really simple. And we would be so excited and honored you guys to take you guys out as our family and just to show you how easy it is. And then you guys can have those testimonies. Good.
How many people that you pray with, do you actually get their information and pass on to a local church or a local ministry?
Absolutely. We ask every person whether they said yes to Jesus, whether they've already said yes to Jesus, maybe they're not ready. We just say, hey, look, would you be interested in a local, just getting in touch with you, not meeting you in a church, because we didn't meet you at a church, remember that. Maybe have coffee or whatever and just do life with, maybe pray with, talk about the kids, talk about sports and all this, because people need someone to listen to, you know, and with that, you grow. You grow with them, they grow with you. So absolutely, we always get their information. Maybe they're not willing to, but that's okay. You know, we're loving them, and it's not about us. We're planting that seed. But it is so important, so imperative to ask them, because the commission is make disciples, not converts, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's what it's all about. Any other questions? Patty?
Can I answer that? Smith Wigglesworth, you know who that is? For a year of his life, he was unable to get out of bed. They had to carry his bed up on a platform. He prayed for people, and they got healed. So God uses people, no matter what shape we're in. We're believing for a healing in our bodies, and God can use you and surpass all of that. How many know Smith Wigglesworth rose people from the dead? Some say 20 or 30 people in his lifetime he rose from the dead, yet he couldn't get out of bed. And he prayed for people, and they got healed.
Yesterday, I've been driving the truck all week long, you know, and it's been rocking. I've seen so many healings and all this stuff. But yesterday, I didn't drive it, and I always use the, hey, have you ever seen a truck like this before? So it was so crazy. You talk about being in a chair. So here's this guy. We pull out of the church. And one thing about you guys, you're led by the Spirit. If you go in and say, hey, there's a guy over there. Let's go over and pray for him. A lot of times, going to fall through. But if the Holy Spirit says, go pray for that person. A lot of times it's going to rock. One thing, you're being obedient, you know. But anyhow, so we pull out of the church, and I see this flag, an orange flag, on top of this, like a wheelchair, like a cart thing, kind of like what Danny has. And it was moving. I was like, wow, this guy's moving. And I wasn't the only person to see it. I got, because I was in the front, and I turned my head, and then one of the lady on my team, she seen the same thing. And I was trying to be really quiet because I was like, all right, you guys are leading today. I'm just going to stand back and watch. I'm not going to say anything. And I was like, sorry, you guys, but I have to, did you guys see that over there? And the lady's like, yes, absolutely. I said, well, let's circle around and let's go try to talk to him. So he had already made it. I mean, this guy was moving in this little cart thing. He had already made it right there where we seen him the first time. And he's right there at the stop sign. He's getting ready to go. And I was like, man, I love seeing that. And then the literally, guys, this was so crazy. The mobile baptism pulls out of church right where we were at. He goes right past this guy. What did I say? And I'm sitting right there. He's right there at the stop sign. I said, I hollered out the window, hey, have you ever seen a truck like that before? He's like, no, man, what is that? I said, I get to drive that thing every day. And I've never, ever, ever said this. I said, hey, man, can you come back over here and we can just talk? Most people's like, talk about what? You know, whatever. You know, I've never said that. We always use something else. But with that, God knew that this guy needed to talk. God knew that we needed to hear what he had to say. So you're talking about being in that state thinking people are not going to listen. Let me tell you what, this guy rocked our world. I mean, he prayed for us, and he's in this chair. He was a big guy, tattoos all over him. You know, you're thinking, oh, man, this guy's went through that, and he has went through a lot. But he knows so much. God uses him like never before. So what did we do? We heard his story. We prayed with him and everything. We equipped him. We gave him Bibles. We gave him bands. We gave him, because that's what it's all about, equipping the saints. If you find somebody that's going to be willing to do this, you know, like in a video, Kyle said, who do you know that you can share this with? And Pastor, if you, I know you're going to go out there and share the gospel. So we want to equip you. Brandon, we want to equip you, you know, because that's what it's all about. Once you guys get on fire, there's no stopping. Okay? Any other questions? It's getting a little late. I know you guys are getting hungry. No other questions? I want to read this real quick. I just got this this morning. This is from a girl that has had problems with their legs for a while. It'll be a short thing. She's cute. So it says, I never did get a chance to give you an update from when you prayed for my back and legs and everything the other night. But I want to thank you for being obedient. Normally by now, my hips pop out of place and my legs then become uneven again. However, I've been checking off and on all day, yesterday and today, and they're still the same length. And tonight, I ran across the parking lot at Big Lots to catch up with the rest of my team, and I ran straight and no pain in running either. For me, that's big, because normally when I run, my legs go in and I look like a struggling penguin, but this time I ran straight. See, yeah, you can clap on that. So that's what God's doing in Ohio. But you know what? God wants to do the same thing in Rochester. God wants to see, he wants to see his children step up. Why are we seeing all this stuff happen in Ohio? Because his children are stepping up. You know, it's a battlefield out there, and we need to be armored up, like Amy said, and just ready to go, you guys. Yeah. Any other questions before I pray us out? Go ahead. Tiffin and Seneca County in
Fostoria.
Yeah. And you guys, Tuesday through Thursday, if you guys aren't doing anything, if you feel led, take a day off. You want to see what God's doing, go. I mean, they will house you. I mean, all you got to do is just go in and just be willing. It's just that easy. You know, you don't have to pay for food. You don't have to pay for housing. You just got to be willing. We need laborers. And the cool thing about it is, You can go there. It's one thing for us to speak and tell you all these testimonies, but until you get in there, until you go out on teams, until you see what God's doing, you know, it's really hard for us to explain what he's doing until you get into battle. All right. Any other questions before I pray us out? I guess not. Why don't you pray us out, beautiful?
Love hearing your prayers.
So Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for this gorgeous day today, Lord. We thank you for just the opportunity to share your love and how we do it on the streets with our family in this building, Lord. God, and we just ask that you touch hearts, Lord, that as they go out today, that they look for opportunities, God, to share your love with someone. Even if it's not our method, you don't have to do that in order to pray for someone. So, Lord, I just ask that as they're out, they're at the grocery store, Walmart, gas station, whatever it is, Lord, that you highlight someone, Lord, that they, and then you touch them and just say, pray for them. God, it doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. It doesn't have to be beautiful. Lord, it's just, how can I pray for you and just bless them with prayer? So God, I just ask that you just reach out and that you touch everyone in this congregation today, Lord, that you bless them, God, that you comfort them today where they need it most. God, we thank you for this family, Lord. We thank you that you have blessed James and I with this family, Lord, and we just love you, Jesus, and we just praise your mighty and holy name. Amen.
Awesome. You guys remember, when you see the cornfields, those are families.
That's good. Stretch your hands out to these two. Father, we thank you for James and Amy Stewart. We thank you, God, for them answering the call that you put on their lives. Lord, we all watched the transformation take place as they left secular work and entered the harvest field, Father. There's been so many Ohios in their life in the last 3 or 4 years. We pray, oh God, that you would continue to impregnate them with your word. Father, we thank you for healing Amy. God, that she would be completely healed. The manifest healing of Jesus Christ would be hers. And Lord, we thank you for the steps that are ordered by you, God. It's no accident that they're going back to Ohio. God, we thank you for the families that lives will be changed as a result. Let them know, God, that we not only support them financially, but we support them spiritually, God. We pray for them. God, that you would continue to open doors that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. God, we pray for prosperity in their lives. Everything they touch would be blessed. And Father God, we thank you for their involvement in our lives and for the challenge that they give us to be lights to this world. Help us, God, to be disciple makers. Father, we believe you for revival in Fulton County. Yes. And it's men and women like this that set the example and set the pace for us. We believe you for glory and honor and power and might be to your name, Father, for every one of us to come up another step to be witnesses and be lights to this world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.